I'm a psychic, my name is Amy. You can really ask me anything. Spiritual ass kicking's what I do, and I'm here to mentor you. You can love your life and make a change. Do it the Amy Scott Grant way. It's the state of the universe, the state of the universe. Amy talks.
Hey, this is Amy Scott Grant. Welcome to another installment of Amy Talks. This is for the week of August 4th, and we're talking about predictions. So I have to say, predictions is something that people ask me about a lot. They may not use that word. They don't ask for that explicitly, but they want to know what will happen, right? And, you know, I go into a lot of detail in this topic in the book Pendulum Mojo, which you can get at shop.askingmeanything.com or amazon.com. But in Pendulum Mojo, I talk a lot about it because it's so important in terms of truth testing, whether you use a pendulum or you use, you know, whatever, muscle testing, gut check, body sway, any of that. But the questions that I'm asked more often than not from people are predictions. So here's the difference between a question that's a prediction and a question that's not a prediction, right? Prediction questions usually have the word will, is going to. So for example, will I get the job? Is so-and-so going to ask me to marry him? Are we going to be together long-term? Am I going to move? Is this going to happen? Is she going to do that? So going to and will, you know, will this happen? Will this turn out? Will it be the way I want it to? Will we find the right house? That's kind of how you can tell if it's a prediction. It has the word will or going to, right? Questions that are more within the scope of what you can control are along the lines of, you know, all things considered, is it optimal for me to look for a new place to live? That's a question that is focused on what you can control right now, whether or not you're going to look for a new place to live. That's different from, am I going to move? Is my family going to move? Are we going to be moving? Right? Will we move? Anything like that. So what is, but this seems to be the thing that people have the most trouble sort of getting their heads around, right? Because this is what you want to know. Isn't this what you really want to know? Is what the hell is going to happen? What is going to happen? And when you are in the thick of stress, anxiety, emotional turmoil, what you most want to know is how things are going to happen. Let's say, for example, someone that you love gets an unfortunate diagnosis. You want to know, are they going to need surgery? Will they need surgery? Are they going to make it? Are they going to be okay? Are they going to beat this? Are they going to get through it? That's what you want to know. So it's frustrating. It's got to be frustrating for you when you want an answer like that, for me to turn around and go, you know, that's a prediction, right? So let's talk about predictions. That's what we're going to talk about in this installment of Amy Talks, is predictions and why they suck. No, they don't suck. Predictions don't suck, but predictive questions are the least effective type of questioning. And that is because, and this is the simplest way I can explain it, is it's because everything is always changing. The universe is always in flux. And because of that, if I ask a predictive question right now, I may get an answer that's true right now. But that answer could change a week from now, a day from now, an hour from now, 3 minutes from now, based on what happens between now and that time. So predictive questions are not great questions, because if you ask me a question, is this going to happen, and I get yes, you're going to be really pissed at me if it doesn't happen. Like, you're really going to be angry, but you said it would happen. Why didn't it happen? That's why I don't like to do predictions. I really don't like all that anger coming at me, right? And I don't feel it's very useful. Because what's more useful is to think about what you can control. What is within the realm or the scope of your control? If you want to know if a loved one is going to make it through surgery, what can you really control about that situation? if you have a bad feeling about them having the surgery, you could get third-party verification. Like, you could have somebody blindly, without knowing the question, check and see, is this true that it's not optimal? You know, is it optimal for them to have the surgery? And they get no. You're like, I knew it, right? So what you could control might be to try and talk that person into some other options, some other alternatives. But you can't control the outcome of the surgery unless you're the surgeon, right? Then you may have some control. Also, you can't make people get better if they don't want to get better, but that's probably another topic for an entirely, you know, separate installment of this podcast. So, predictions. Yeah. I know. I get it. Like, I get your frustration. You know, every Wednesday, I do this live Q&A on Facebook. And I will tell you probably at least, and a lot of these people who will come on it have read my books. They've read Pendulum Mojo. They know my stance on predictions. They know my teaching on it, right? And yet probably at least 40% of the questions I get, some weeks it's more, but usually about 40% are predictions. Is, am I going to get the job? Are we going to move? You know, is my husband going to be faithful? Am I going to meet the right one? It's like, that's whatever. Am I going to be okay? You know, is this surgery going to work out fine? Is so-and-so surgery, you know, so-and-so going to die? This is like what everybody wants to know. They're all predictions. So I get it. I get it. But I want you to be empowered by the understanding of why predictions are not the best questions to get reliable answers, because then you can actually ask questions that are, that can provide you with more power and control and authority and like more confidence and more ability to affect an outcome. Does that make sense, what I'm saying? Okay, so predictions are no good because the universe is always in flux. So here's an example. Let's say that, lottery is one that comes up a lot, right? So when people are working on lottery, when I tell you they're working on lottery, what I'm talking about, at least the people that connect with me, it means they're clearing blocks that they have around winning the lottery. And there are a crap ton of them, because you have all these, there's all these blocks around money, then there's blocks around winning, then there's blocks around good things coming too easy, you know, like easy come, easy go, and it doesn't count if you didn't earn it, and the only way to get ahead is to work hard, and like all those kinds of blocks and beliefs. Then there's just gambling has just a weird energy around it. So there's tons of stuff to clear around gambling. And because the lottery is gambling, just to be really clear, it's a gamble. You're saying, oh, I'm going to pay this dollar, this $2 for a chance at, you know, I'm going to gamble these $2 or $3 for a chance at $40 million or whatever it happens to be up to this week. So there's weird energy around gambling. There's judgment. There's, you know, people have heard that lottery winners are then broke shortly thereafter. And so there's just tons, right? So if I say someone's working on lottery, I mean, they're working on clearing like all of those issues, right? So that they can win. So let's say that you clear tons of your lottery issues, not to mention there's a crap load of bias and attachment. So let's say you get all that cleared and you think, okay, here we go. I'm going to buy the ticket. And then you want to ask predictive questions like, am I holding the winning ticket? Do I have the winning numbers? Is this, am I going to win the 40 million? Will there be one winner, two winner? And people will ask all kinds of stuff, right? And let's say that you get yes. But do you see how that's like a total prediction? Because the whole point of how the lottery numbers are drawn, it's supposed to be random. And that's why they go on TV and they have the little air machine. Kind of fascinating that it hasn't evolved since then. I mean, you know that they could just as easily have a computer randomly generate it, but somehow we wouldn't believe it if it wasn't the little balls. Oh, we see all the balls. They flip the switch. The balls all drop into the bin. The air starts up. The balls are all moving. The guy or the girl is talking to you while the balls are moving to give it plenty of time to get good and mixed up. And they don't even like reach their hand in. and pull out a ball anymore, right? Because we're so suspicious and litigious that we would be like, oh, they totally palmed that one. They totally like changed the number. He had stickers on his fingers and the numbers were on, like whatever. So it's all computer, like it's all machine generated now, right? So then when it's time, the machine like, right, spits out these little numbers, and all the person does like with one finger is turns them so they face the camera so that you can see if you won or not, okay? But think about like how many things actually affect which balls get chosen. The reason that things are random, it's, you know, I don't know, maybe it's just me. Like we just rewatched Jurassic Park last week and oh God, like how dreamy is Jeff Goldblum in that movie? And then he starts talking about chaos theory and you're just like, uh-huh. Yeah, I could just listen to him all day, right? But he's talking about chaos theory. Remember the part he holds, oh, I forget the girl's name, right? The blonde. But he holds her hand. You know, he's sort of flirting with her. And even though she's with the, like, rugged scientist, right? And he drips water on her hand, and it goes down in one direction. And he says, you know, what do you think will happen if we drop water in the same place again? And she said it'll probably go the same way. But it won't, because he says chaos theory is all about there are, you know, slight imperfections, that the angle and pitch of the hairs on her hand and the amount of breath and air and any vibrations that come up from, you know, footsteps nearby, or like there's a million things that could impact if he drops another drop of water from the exact same height. Even if they get all the controls similar, there will still be enough of a difference that it probably won't go the same way. There'll be some variation of it. And he does it again and it goes down a different way. And she's intrigued and enthralled and fascinated, right? And meanwhile, her boyfriend, the rugged paleontologist, is, you know, like, holy crap, look, dinosaurs. I forget the lines. But you know what I mean? So, but Jeff Goldblum is talking to you about chaos theory. That's exactly what I'm talking about here with predictive outcomes. It's like, you know, you're really kind of arbitrarily choosing answers almost if you try and predict a future outcome. Now, having said that, there are times when predictions work, but I got to jump in and have a quick word from our sponsor, KidCentered.com. We'll be right back.
KidCentered.com, yeah, KidCentered.com. We're centering the world one kid at a time, calming the body and calming the mind. Try our Calm Mind Time for free. It will leave you smiling and feeling happy. For kids' meditation, you can't go wrong at KidCentered.com.
All right, welcome back to Amy Talks. We're talking today about predictions, and I was just recapping the gorgeous and talented Jeff Goldblum's chaos theory bit that he does in the movie Jurassic Park, where he talks about trying to predict an outcome is virtually impossible because there are so many infinitesimally small affecting, you know, environmental effects that go on, that it's like impossible to predict the way something's going to go. But I told you right before the break that there are some times when predictions work. So that's what I want to talk to you about now. And I know people are getting their hopes up hearing that, but I've just kind of learned to live with it, right? Is that people ask me predictions and I will say, now you know that's a prediction, right? So I don't know if I can get a good answer. And they go, that's okay, just check. And I check, and sometimes I have a pretty clear answer of how it's going to go, you know, and I'll be able to share that with them. Other times I don't get anything. It's like hearing crickets. And when I check in to ask why, it's usually because it has not been decided yet. I've seen this happen, like when you check in around another person's health. You know, when somebody gets bad news, cancer or diabetes, or, you know, just like you need an operation or you have this or this, you know, bad news like that, We want to know if they're going to be okay. We want to know if they're going to make it. And so when I check in for people around that, a lot of times the answer comes back undecided. And it means the person hasn't made up their mind yet. Because, you know, people beat cancer all the time. People beat, you know, diabetes is irreversible. You can find documented case studies of people that have reversed diabetes. So as I have long said, your intention and the role that you play in all of this is significant. So if I'm checking in on behalf of someone and they have not decided their outcome, they have not decided if they want to stay and live and fight cancer, or if they want to just go peacefully and quickly, or if they want to maybe wait and see if some other option shows up. If they haven't made up their mind, I'm not going to even be able to get a prediction. And people generally, it's weird because you would think that would be the answer that would be least satisfying to people, is that it's undecided. But for some reason, that seems to put them at ease. Like, okay, he hasn't made up his mind yet. Okay, good. Maybe they think they can sway the person or whatever. And sometimes you can, right? Sometimes you can't. Sometimes you can. Sometimes you can't. That's what free will is all about. Free will. They get to pick. Sometimes I get a probability of what will happen. And these are kind of cool, actually. I actually really like when I get these. So, for example, let's say that you are asking me if you're going to get a particular job. You know, am I going to get this job? My initial reaction is going to be to tell you, hey, you know, that's a prediction, right? And predictions aren't always valid questions. You know, they don't always produce valid answers. And you might say, yeah, I know, Amy, I read Pendulum Mojo. I know what you're talking about. But still, can you just check in for me? And I go, okay, and I'll check in. Is so-and-so going to get the job? And if I don't get a straight answer, that's when I'll ask, you know, what's going on. And either it's undecided, like maybe they haven't really decided if they want that job. Maybe they were asking me, half hoping I'd say no, so that they could let go of worrying about that job and move on and apply for other jobs or see what else is out there or kind of get back to the search, update the resume, whatever. But sometimes I check in and I check a probability. So then I might get, okay, it's a pretty low probability. That's a slightly different question, just so you know. If you're checking in, the way you would ask on that is, what is the probability that so-and-so will get such and such job? You know, we'll get the job at LinkedIn or we'll whatever, right? We'll get the sales job that she applied for, however you phrase it. But it's like, what is as of right now, what is the probability that this will happen? And I may get straight away like, wow, it's really low. It's like 10%, 5%. Sometimes I get, wow, it's pretty good. It's like 60%, you know, which is not definitive. People like the definitive answers, but at least if it's 60%, they're like, okay, it's a pretty good chance that it's going to happen. And they feel better with that. Or 20%, okay, so it's probably not going to happen. If it happens, great, but it's probably not going to happen. Even those answers, even though they're somewhat vague, can be kind of comforting to people, right? But yeah, predictions I get asked more than anything else. So we got to have another quick word from our sponsor, KidCentered, and I'll be right back.
KidCentered.com. Yeah, KidCentered.com. We're centering the world one kid at a time. Calming the body and calming the mind. Try our Calm Mind Time for free. It will leave you smiling and feeling happy. For kids' meditation, you can't go wrong at kidscentered.com.
Welcome back. We're talking about predictions. And, you know, why is everything in flux? This is a question I get too. Why is it changing? Well, it's because of the choices that are being made constantly, right? So think about this. A person doesn't become obese instantly, right? They didn't eat one box of Krispy Kremes and become enormously large. No, the obesity is a result of tiny little choices that have added up over time to produce an end result. Or it's not even an end result, it's really just a current snapshot in time, what you see today result. Same thing for fitness. People that are super healthy and trim and fit, that didn't happen instantaneously, right? They didn't go to the gym one day for 2 hours and walk out looking like Jane Fonda or some other more current example. Sorry, I love Jane Fonda. You know, this is practices and choices and opportunities and decisions that they've made over and over and over and over. Same thing for being broke. You know, I could say same thing for being wealthy, but you could win the lottery, right? That is possible. And you could take all of your money and put it in investment that goes down the tube. But usually for most people, the current state of your finances is related to lots of, I mean, like millions of teeny tiny little choices that you've been making over time, right? I wish I had the number in front of me. I know it's in Pendulum Mojo, but I talk about how, oh, here we go. I found it. Yay, I found it while I was talking. Okay, so I just want to read this to you really quick. Every day is a series of choices, what to eat, what to wear, what to say, what to do, where to go, and when. Every tiny choice that you make is affecting outcomes in your life. In other words, the universe is always in flux, forever moving and shifting and morphing. How many choices do you figure you make in a day? Researchers at Cornell University found that a person makes an average of 220 choices about food, just food, every day. Your world is ever changing, largely due to the choices you make as you go about your routine. All outcomes are subject to change, which means any prediction that is true right now may not be true 30 seconds from now. This is why I say you can ask anything you want, but the predictions will not yield reliable answers. Now, I realize what you might be thinking. Well, what to eat or what to wear or when to book a flight or whether or not to apply for a job, isn't that a prediction? Okay, and it's a subtle nuance, right? Which my editor told me is redundant. It's a nuance. It's subtle. It doesn't have to be a subtle nuance. It's redundant. Okay, but it is a nuance. So let me see if I can explain that. So you will get the best possible answers when you ask a question that is focused on here and now, right? Like, what is under your control right now? What is true or most optimal right now? So when you stand in your closet, you look at your furniture. I don't know why you're really rich. You've got a ton of furniture in your closet, right? But if you stand in your closet and you look at your clothes and you say, you know, all things considered, is it optimal to wear this today? You're not making a prediction. You're requesting guidance for a choice that has to be made right here, right now. Now, if you look in your closet and you say, all things considered, is it optimal to wear this 6 months from now when I go to that wedding? If it was me, I'd be checking in a lot closer to the wedding. I mean, why do you need to know that right now? Do you want to know if you need to, like, go out and buy a new dress? Do you want to know if that's still going to fit you? Like, you know, why do you want to know? Probably you want to know because you want to know if that's, like, do you already own what you're going to wear to court or to that wedding or whatever? Or do you need to go shopping for it? Well, in that case, I would ask, all things considered, is it optimal for me to shop for a new dress? And if I get no, then I wouldn't worry about it. Okay. But it's about requesting guidance for a choice that needs to be made here and now. And sometimes that requires you to ask, you know, is this the most optimal time to make this choice? Is this the most optimal time to decide this? When I get weird answers with my pendulum, that's the first thing I do. Like, if I'm like, ooh, I wonder, I'm ready to book this flight. Is it this flight or this flight? Is it, you know, I'm starting to go through this and things are just getting wonky. Like, I'm supposed to fly at 2 a.m. and buy the $1,000 flight instead of the $200 flight. That's when I'm like, wait, what? What is going on? And that's when I'll stop and ask, is this the most optimal time to make this decision? And if I get no, then I need to just walk away and put it aside, right? Because otherwise, if it's not the right time, it really could be more of a prediction than anything else. So I hope that I've given you kind of a deeper understanding as far as why predictions make crappy questions and why they actually sometimes work. Because sometimes if you watch on the Wednesday Q&A, people will ask and I'll say, hey, that's a prediction, but I'm totally getting yes. Because sometimes it's so clear. It's like everything's lined up. Everything's already in motion in that direction. And probably the person's open to receive it and they've made up their mind that they want it, et cetera, et cetera. Right? As opposed to somebody that's on the fence is, you know, we can't, if we're not clear in our intention and we don't have clarity around what we want, there's just kind of a lot of fluxy stuff that's a technical term. There's stuff like moving around and undecided and not necessarily aligned out there, right? So it makes a huge difference when you get clear. So if you find yourself asking a prediction or you're asking questions and you're getting answers and then you're finding out the answers are false, look and see if you're making predictions. And if you were, then take a look at, you know, how can you restructure this? What is it that you really want? Maybe you want reassurance. Maybe you want to be able to stop worrying about something. Maybe you want to know if you need to take action. You know, is this the most optimal dress to wear to court 6 months from now? You're only asking that because you're worried about maybe it's a different reason, but I'm envisioning like, well, maybe you're asking about that because you're worried about how you're going to look in court. And if you already know what you're going to wear, then that could go into your visualization. You could put your mind at ease and you wouldn't have to worry about getting a new outfit. Right? Like maybe that's what's going on. So then then you might ask, okay, is it optimal for me to imagine I'm wearing this blue suit in court? It might be optimal for you to imagine that it's all settled without going to court, or that it resolves itself way before then, or that there's a continuance to give your attorneys more time or whatever. Right? So sometimes the prediction is distracting you from what could really make a difference in how you perceive it or how what there is to clear or whatever. Make sense? All right. So I hope you found that helpful. I hope you enjoyed today's show on predictions. I would love to hear your questions and see what burning questions I could answer for you on Amy Talks. You can send those to me at ask@askamyanything.com. All right. Thanks for being here. Have an amazing week and I'll see you next week. Bye.
I'm a psychic, my name is Amy. You can really ask me anything. Spiritual ass kicking's what I do. And I'm here to mentor you. You can love your life and